All right, welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are wrapping up our study of Revelation. We're in chapter 22. I plan on doing a complete book review next week because there's just so much information here, so much detail here. I want to go back and just wrap everything up next week so that we can have a better understanding. So we're going to get into chapter 22. I'm going to read just one or two verses and then we'll discuss it. Now, I want to go back just a little bit. Chapter 21 started talking about the New Jerusalem, which is the destination, the final destination, actually, for the church, the bride of Christ. And so we continue to talk about the river of life at this point. We're going to go into it in more detail. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now, if you'll remember, I read these two verses last week as a continuation of chapter 21. And some people may not realize this, but the chapters and the numbers of the verses were put in about the 1500s. It wasn't like that for many years. And they are put in there just simply for organization, to make it easier to find things. And so sometimes, since men put this in, they didn't always do it in the most logical way. And there are times when it looks like certain verses should have been included in the previous chapter, and I think this is one of those. But anyway, as we look at this, it says there was a tree of life. This would be the same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. It says it bears 12 fruits, and one fruit for each month. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, who are these for? Well, it says it's for the healing of the nations. Now, the nations are not part of the church. The nations exist on the earth. Now, we've already talked about the millennial kingdom, we've already talked about the great white throne judgment, and now we are at a new heaven and a new earth. And, okay, just a second. So, as we look at this, as I said, that the nations are not part of the church. So these people are living on the new earth. We will be in the New Jerusalem, where some people believe will actually be hovering kind of like the moon does now, perhaps even orbiting around the earth. We will be free to come and go as we please. We'll be in glorified bodies. These Gentile people and also some of the Jewish people that went through the millennial kingdom, that were the sheep and the sheep and goats judgment, they and their children that followed Christ, they're going to go into the new earth. Now, just to back up a little bit and try to get all this clear in our minds, remember that Satan was released at the end of the thousand-year period, and many people followed him. And I believe it was at that point in time you had to make up your mind. You're going to follow Satan or not. And the people that did not follow Satan, that were not part of that end-time revolt, will be going in into the new earth. And so now we've got a new heaven and a new earth. There's no more sin. There's no more even temptation for sin. It's all been done away with. But these people, their eternity is going to be on the earth. They will be able to visit the New Jerusalem. And this is why they come up there for sustenance. Their bodies would be very similar to the bodies that Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve did not have glorified supernatural bodies. They had mortal bodies, but they were perfect bodies. But yet they still needed to eat.
I'm confused.
Okay.
What I'm confused about, now you just said that they will be able to go into the New Jerusalem.
To visit, yes. It's not their home. They can go to visit, yes.
Well, if the New Jerusalem is hovering over.
How do they get there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Maybe we
help
them.
We have glorified bodies, and we can go.
Yes.
But they won't be able to go.
Well, they will probably have some way to get there. I'm sure that they could travel on something.
Why do you say they can get there?
Because it says they were, it shows them here in the New Jerusalem. They get there somehow. They're there. It says the leaves of the tree were for the healing. And then we're going to see again, well, we'll get there. In verse 14, it talks about this again, entering the gates into the city. So it'll come up again.
Okay.
All right. So again, we have to understand that these people needed this sustenance, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, in order to keep going. And as long as they get that, they will live forever in these bodies. Mm-hmm. And there shall be no more curse. Now, you know, the curse was in the early chapters of Genesis after Adam and Eve sinned. The curse was put on Adam and Eve and the serpent and Satan and the earth. And we've been dealing with that curse. You know, people, bad things happen and they say, oh, why did God allow that to happen? Well, it's because of the curse. It's because we live in a sin-cursed earth. That's why we have diseases. That's why we have all these problems. We bring the problems upon ourselves. And the reason God doesn't just not allow anything bad to happen is because of his commitment to our free will. He gives us free will. We make bad choices. Those choices lead to consequences. So it's hard to imagine, though, that there will be a time when there's no more curse. No sin, no curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. He's still talking about the New Jerusalem. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. What an honor that's going to be. There shall be no night there. Now, if you can imagine this New Jerusalem as large as it is, and Jay Vermeer, like I said last week, pictures it, it's a cube, but it may be surrounded by a sphere, and it may be above the earth, maybe orbiting the earth. Some people think it comes down on the earth. I don't think there's room for that. But the light is going to be from the inside out. The light is going to be powered by God himself. And so there will not be any night. The reason we have night is because the earth turns. The earth rotates, and part of it's away from the sun. That's why we have night and day. So that raises this question. Will the people on earth have a night? And I think they will. I think the earth will rotate around, and just as the sun shines on the earth today and it rotates and there's a period of darkness and a period of light, I think this New Jerusalem is going to shine on the new earth and provide the same kind of light. So they may very well still have night and day on the earth, but it will be no night in the New Jerusalem because it's going to be light all the time. Okay? The light, we're going to be inside the light, basically, that will be shining, the light of God. So that's just, now that's not, you know, absolute. That's just a theory. Okay. They shall see his face. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. In other words, he's saying, take it to the bank. He said, this is absolute truth. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Then he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Now, he didn't mean that very quickly I'm going to come. What he's saying is, once these things start, it's going to happen very quick. You know, after the rapture occurs and these seals start to be opened, you know, within 7 years, all this is going to come about. So what he's saying is, when it happens, it's going to happen in rapid succession. He said, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. John didn't learn from the first time. He says, then he said to me, see that you do not do that. Don't do that. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. And this made me think about, it's hard for us to imagine the status that we are going to have as children of God with glorified bodies. We are going to be at least equal to the angels, and some say superior to the angels. Paul said we will judge angels. And so here's John right now just being in awe of this angel where he thinks he has to worship him. But when he, with the glorified body and in eternity, we're going to be actually perhaps even a higher rank than them. And you, to be a part of the church, to be a part of the age of grace, is such a tremendous privilege. Mm-hmm. To imagine that there is going to be a generation that will not even have to die, you know, that are just going to be translated. And to know who we are going to be, the kind of authority we're going to have, it just boggles the mind. But this is what the scriptures say. Okay, then he says, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In other words, he's saying, okay, John, it's time to let people need to know these things. It's time to write it down. They need to know. The people who are going to be living in the future need to know.
Well, you said that we were going to have authority. Now, the millennial reigned over, so what authority?
I think we will continue to have authority. I think we'll be, like you said, we'll be able to go back and forth to the earth. There's still, even though the millennium's over, there's still going to be some sort of organization, some sort of government, some sort of hierarchy perhaps on the earth, and there'll be, and I think there's still going to be things going on. And we have, there's a whole universe out there to explore, too. Yeah. So,
well, I think we're going to have work to do because...
Yeah, I think we will. Yeah. You can just let your imagination run wild and it could still be, it could be right. Then he says this, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. What he's saying here is, at this point in time, nothing's going to change. If you're lost, you're lost. If you're saved, you're saved. Nothing is going to change. Everything is set in stone now. No one's going to change their mind. It's all over with. Okay. These people that are being punished in the lake of fire, it's not going to change for them. Okay. He says, and behold, I am coming quickly again. We talked about that. And my reward is with me. Okay, again, now he's backed up and he's going to talk about the rapture. To give to everyone according to his work. Not necessarily the rapture, but I mean the Bema Seat judgment. Mm-hmm. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And this basically what he's saying is, I'm God. Mm-hmm. I am God. Then he says this, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, this would be talking about those people there in verse 2. We don't need to enter through the gates of the city because we're already there and we can come back and forth. But he's talking about people visiting the city, actually going through the gates of the city. And here's the other thing that's very, very interesting. That's why I brought this book to read from Jack Van Impe. He says about verse 14. I don't know what translation everybody has, but he says, according to Dr. C.I. Schofield, who was a great scholar, mm-hmm. a better rendering of verse 14 is, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Well, that's totally different than what the New King James and the King James says, who do his commandments, that they have the right to the tree of life. This says, and I looked it up. I looked up maybe 10 different modern day versions. And they all said the same thing. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. So then I went to Strong's Concordance and I looked at the original Greek words. And there's a Greek word for commandment and it means commandment. And then his above that talks about his. Where they get washed their robes, there's no Greek words in there for that. I couldn't see anything. So they have changed it to fit their theology. And then once he changed it, all the modern translations changed it with him. Now, you know how, you're gonna understand here in a minute. You know how I feel about the people during the tribulation period. They were no longer under grace. they were saved by their faith and being able to keep their faith.
Right.
But notice what he says, blessed are those who do his commandments. Well, it's not salvation by works, and that's what's confusing. These scholars are thinking, well, that can't be, so we have to change the verse around. No, he's saying these people that made it through, that did my commandments, that were saved by their faith, that's what saved them. He said, blessed are those who did those things. If he were talking about church people in the true church, he would say, blessed are those who believe. Because that's all we have to do is believe, right? You know, we do our works after we believe. But remember the parable of 10 virgins. We talked about that a lot. There were 5 virgins that took extra oil with them and 5 that didn't. And when their lamps ran out, which meant they had oil to start with, and when their lamps ran out, they ran out of oil. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. So those 5 virgins did have the Holy Spirit at one point and actually ran out because they didn't keep up with their faith. And I've talked about this a lot. Some people might say, oh, that's heresy. But there's also other places in the Bible. If you go to the sheep and goats judgment, he told the sheep, this is why you're going into the millennial kingdom, because you did this, 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 and this. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was
works.
He talked about works. And then when he told the goats, this is why you didn't go in, because you didn't do these things. Well, all through the Bible, it says that we are saved by our belief, not by our works. The works follow, but works do not, you know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We're not saved by works. So why does he say here, do his commandments? Because he's not talking about the church. He's not talking about the people who reside in the New Jerusalem. He's talking about the people, the nations that are on the earth that are now coming up and able to visit. And I think they probably had to continue to maintain that, and their children did, during the millennial kingdom. Probably right up to the end of the millennial kingdom, they had to continue to do that.
I thought the church was the only one that was going to...
Why?
I thought the church was the only one that was able to enter the New Jerusalem.
Okay, hold on just a second. All right, so again, let me just read this one more time. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And so they eat from the fruits of this tree. They're able to maintain their earthly bodies. I really believe with all my heart that this is talking about those people on the earth coming to visit to eat from this tree. Now, a question was raised before we started recording about would the people of the church and their glorified bodies need to eat from the tree also. If I had to guess one or the other, I would say, no, we don't need to, but we can if we want to. We have that option. Okay, but then he says, but outside are dogs. Now dogs, even though I love dogs, dogs in the Bible were considered mongrels and that sort of thing and unclean by the Jewish people. And so they had a negative connotation. Even though we have many wonderful dogs today, but in the Bible, when you see dogs, it's like impure. So outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now that doesn't mean that all these terrible people are just outside the New Jerusalem and they can't get in. No, they're in the lake of fire. What he meant by that is they're not anywhere around. They don't exist here in this picture. Okay. Then he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, when he says Spirit and the bride, he's saying Holy Spirit and us
and the church.
The Holy Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And so he is issuing a warning here. You do not take this book and try to twist everything around and put stuff in there that's not there and deceive people and all that. And it's a very serious thing.
Some people believe if you don't read the King James Version, that's exactly what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
What this says.
Right. Well, right. But he's not now. He's not talking about translations here.
Okay, you know, but that's what people. That's what people think.
Right. When you get to translations, there are errors. There are very small errors in the King James. There are small errors in the New King James. There are errors in the NIT and all this. But they're not errors about how to get saved. They're not errors about major things,
right.
Technical type things. You'll see that.
Yeah.
It is difficult for some people to read the King James because it's in Old English.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a language we're familiar with. I like the New King James because it takes that out, but it keeps the flavor of the King James. I also like the New International Version. There's lots of good translations out there.
Now, it would be like the Bible that the Jehovah Witnesses have.
New World Translation.
Yes, because they definitely took out verses.
They took a literal King James.
Yes.
And they
took out what they didn't
mean. And they changed it to fit their belief.
Yes.
That's what they did. And that's what this is talking about.
Right. That's
you don't
right.
do this. And they did this in prophecy, too.
Yeah.
Okay, then he says, he who testifies to these things, say, surely I am coming quickly. Again, we talked about that. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that closes the canon of Scripture. And again, it's been a great study. We're going to go over it again next week, starting with chapter 1, and just do a really quick review of everything. Hope that you all can join us next week. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we just ask that, we thank you for guiding us through this chapter, and we pray that next week we can point out the main things that we need to, and just be able to get a general overview of this book so that we can have a really good understanding of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.